Continuing Perek Nun Aleph. V'omru Zal b'Perek Arvei Psachim. Lechem Oni. She'onun Alav Dvarim Harbe. It's called, matzah is called bread of poverty, but it's also, there's an inference to answer. So it's something, is bread upon which we say many things. V'davar acher, lechem oni, madarko shalani, v'prusa, afkan v'prusa. Just like a poor man eats from a leftovers, half-eaten loaf, so too, here it should be a prusa, which is why we do yachatz. That's why we break the matzah. That we're going to be making the bracha. Pirish, afal gav shepshat hakasuf shetikra matzah lechem oni shehi mishulelas mikol saor ve'en la davar rak omedes batzma. The pshat is, it just means totally simple, unadulterated bread. However, hukshalahem, Chazal had a kasha which led them to make the drasha that they did. Lama tzarech lemichtav lechem oni pshita yedinen shekol matza she'ein ba saor shehi aniya. Matza means oni already. Matza means simple. Matza means on. Not further processed, not added things to it. V'lama hutzich lemichtav lechem oni. So what is the need to have this extra description, lechem oni? Ela lekaksiv lechem oni loymar she'onan alav dvarim harbe. So that is where Chazal got it from, that there's got to be an extra drush, something else happening here. Can't just mean simple bread. So it's going to be bread that we say many things on. Pirush shehamatza misparsem al yada yitzias mitzrayim. Matza is the vehicle for pirsum, for publicizing that we left Egypt. Like we said, matza is a symbol of that. So this is going to be the symbol, this is going to be the visual aid. The matzah is going to be the visual aid. That's why it's called lechem oni. Val tiksha hare. Gam al ha-Pesach ve-ha-Moror onin alav dvarim she-harei omer Pesach she-anu ochlin moror ze, etc. So you might say, in what way is matzah different from Moror or Pesach? We use them as visual aids as well. Ein zekasha. Ki yitzias Mitzrayim v'kol ha-hagada yisaper al ha-lechem. The entire story takes place over this bread. L'fisha ha-lechem magid l'cha yitzias Mitzrayim, because that's their whole point. The matzah tells us about the entire night is Yitzias Mitzrayim. Lo ha-Pesach, she'ini Yitzia. Pesach doesn't symbolize Yitzia. Pesach symbolizes the makas, the judging the Egyptians for what they did. Rak she'Pesach, she'Pasach HaKadosh Baruch Hu al batei bnei Yisrael. Hashem skipped over the house of the Jewish people, had mercy on the Jewish people, and did not kill the firstborn. Let me just finish this one point. Ve'amarur ve'yamaru es chayehem ba'vodakasha. Marur symbolizes a situation we had been in, which is the bitter slavery that we had. Aval ha'matzah hi ha'yetziyah. But the matzah is the yetziyah. That's the point of the whole thing. Kedeksiv, shivas yavim te'echol matzahs ki b'chipozun yetzosa mi mitzrayim. Eat matzahs because you left Mitzrayim. And that's why, even though we don't have a Korban Pesach today, and therefore the bundle of it, the three, there's a mitzvah to eat the three of them together. So we don't have the Korban Pesach, so we don't have a mitzvah anymore to eat the maror. But nonetheless, there's a separate pasuk which commands us to eat the matzah, because the matzah is a standalone entity as well. The matzah is the ikur of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Besides this fact that it's a part of the three of them, it's also the kolol of the entire night. V'nimtza, ki ha-matzah hi ikur, ki ha-kol tolui b'yitziyah. Everything else is just a way to augment, just like in a meal, right? Yes, the meat makes things much yummier. Yes, especially if you can put some spicy stuff in there, makes it even more exciting. But the ikur is the bread. That's what you're going to be making the hamotzian, right? That's potters everything else. So that's the ikur of the night is the matzah. Shaharei, Masha Pesach al Batei Bnei Yisrael, Nimshech el Hayitziyah. Really, that's the Makas Bechoros, and the sparing of the Jewish people is so that the Jewish people can leave. V'chein v'yamaru es chayehem ein ze ikur. Rather, it's just that from the darkness you can see the light so much clearer, so much better. Aval ha'ikur hi hayitziyah shemimena nimshech hakol. L'kach ra'ui l'saper ha Agada al hamatzah. Kach tikra hamatzah lechem oni she'onun alav dvarim. I mean, it's not sure why the Maral doesn't just bring the pasuk which we quote in the Haggadah by Yochanan Rosh Chodesh over there, right? So we say, that when is it that we have the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? It's when you have the matzah in front of you. Like the pasuk says, Bavur Zeh, in Shmos, Yud Gimel, right? We're told that we're going to be eating matzah for 7 days, no chametz. And you're going to tell your son on that day, Bavur Zeh. And that's how we learn that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is on the night of Tesvav, is because of the matzah is in front of you. It's a mefurash pasuk. And the Maral is working very hard to explain it. Good, we definitely need explanation. But first and foremost, it's a pasuk. It's completely different than the Korban Pesach and the Maror, which are not singled out as the visual aid for the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, like the pasuk does. Now, as we had a question, and then he wanted to say something.
No, I didn't know if there was any depth between, because he says She'onim alav devarim a lot. I didn't know if there was any depth between that and the fact of lechem oni.
So with the drosha that we're working off of,
right,
is Chazal were bothered. Why does it say lechem oni? We don't need that. Just I know matzah is oni. Yeah. So answer is lechem she'onim alav devarim harbe. bread that you say or that you respond. Lanos means to respond. Literally, right?
That's also what I was so, to answer. I didn't really understand.
Right. So, so say, respond. Now, there is obviously just a connection between a poor man and the need to answer. A poor man needs to answer to everyone. Right, so that's why the language of Ani and La'anos are etymologically related. But here we're darshing the word Oni as La'anos. Moshe doesn't have to talk to anybody. He does whatever he wants.
He gets so many demands. Whatever.
No, to answer, a subordinate has to answer to his superior, right? Others people may request, but important distinction. To give a response like a tshuva. A tshuva, if someone makes a shaila, you give him a tshuva. That's very different than la'anos. Anos means, not sure if there's a better word for it in English.
He doesn't answer to anybody, right? Like that's like Sasha's thing.
Right, right. To answer, like in the sense of like you have to answer to your superior, like you're accountable. Yeah. Okay. Noach.
Did you translate Pesach in Russian?
No, I mean I'm sure.
Is it also Passover?
Yeah, it's just Pascha.
But is the idea that it's like a pass? Oh,
it's whatever the fortune would say. No, there's no Russian word for it. It's just a Hebrew. It's just you just pronounce the Hebrew word.
In English, we say Passover. Is that because of Hashem passed over everything? Passover day.
Seemingly, they just took that one interpretation of the word Pesach. Okay. What?
Didn't want to call it jump day.
Jump. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there are right. So, Rabban Gamliel says. Targum says mercy. It means mercy. Pesach. Hashem had mercy over the Jewish houses. Not he jumped over the Jewish houses, but he had mercy over the Jewish houses. Yeah. Anyway.
Worked out for the best. Can you imagine if you had to tell your boss, like, my sacrificial sheep day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
what we call it in Hebrew. Yeah. Okay. Can you imagine how awkward that must have been for the Egypt for the Yidden in Egypt?
That's the point.
Okay. Midrash now. Umipnei shelafi midrash hazeh kash. Now, so you would say, fine. Okay, so you made the drosha of onam advar varbe. Wonderful. Would you have to go and again make another drosha of darko shaloni b'prusa? That just like a poor person eats a half from a half broken from a pre-broken half loaf, so to this should be from a broken loaf. So, meaning if you have a problem, if you have a difficulty with the pasuk, so that gives you permission to darshan, right? But once you darshaned and you explained away that problem. Then what? Then you're done, right? You can't just keep on, you know, saying more and more things, because drush begins with a kasha. This is what we've been working on in the Gur Aryeh Chabura, right? If you learn Gur Aryeh, you know, drush begins with a kasha. The moment Rashi opens up his mouth on Chumash, it's because he's got a kasha. There's no kasha, there's no comment. So if we've answered the kasha, then we don't have any more comments. The Gemara does that all the time, right?
Meaning we already were Bedarish only.
We already answered, right. So we were bothered, it's unnecessary. Matzah already means bread that doesn't have anything else added to it. Answer was, Lechem sha'onan alam alav dvarim harbe. Done. So where does this new thing come from? Prusa. Says the Maharal, well, the truth is we have not fully resolved the difficulty. Yeah, mipnei, mipnei, shelefi, midrash hazeh kasha. This midrash still remains with a difficulty. Dehavi lemichtav lechem aniya. Should have said bread of answering. Ma lechem oni. What is this lechem oni?
Oh, if we were onim alav devarav, devarim, got it. So it should have been lechem aniya.
Aniya. But it says lechem oni. Lekach darshu gam kein ma darko shel oni. Just like the way of a poor person, so there's an allusion to an oni, to a poor person. Instead of answering. Again, we certainly in Pshat need for it to say something to do with poverty, but aniya would mean poverty, and it would also connote answering. But oni is not exactly referring that to that.
Well, I mean, it's only answer. Sorry, oni is only poverty.
Well, right. It kind of speaks to more only poverty, but we can't possibly need it just for that,
okay.
Right? Because the simple bread, because that we already know from matzah. So that's why we need to bring in this extra midrash that it means broken loaf. Uber midrash hazeh. Now, so then we're going to ask the question the other way. Hold on a second. If the broken loaf is such a great fit, so that we should just answer that and resolve our difficulty, and we have no right to make the other drush of bread of answering. So he says, no, that's also no good. With this midrash also would not have been sufficient. Deim kein lichtov lechem oni. Ma oni. If you want to say poor person, then it should be oni. What is the oni? So this word oni is a hybrid. It's not aniya, it's not oni.
There's no vav there in either of those words.
What?
There's no vav in either of those words.
Okay.
Ela travayu shmainin mina. So no. So just first we'll speak it out. Noach is already one step ahead, but let me just catch up to you, Noach. Okay. So first of all, so this is a very common thing, especially if you learn, Chumash Rashi Biyun. You know, the Rashi will often bring multiple answers, and the reason why he brings multiple answers is because he feels neither answer perfectly deals with the problem. If he brings two midrashim, not when he brings a pshat and then a pidrush. That's a different thing. Because then he just feels the pshat has the advantage of being pshat, but it has the disadvantage of not dealing with the difficulties well enough. And the drush has a disadvantage of being way off the page, but has the advantage of dealing with all the problems. But if he brings, let's say, two midrashim, right? Alternatively, this or that. So what is he doing? Answer is, what he's doing is he feels neither one fully deals with the problem. It's in conjunction, the two of them together are going to deal with the problem. Okay, so in other words, the Torah did it taught in such a way to allude to both midrashim. Tosfos and Gemara as well sometimes does such a thing. They'll say that Gemara makes a drush on something. Gemara Tosfos says, wait, how can we do that? This man Damar already uses this pasuk for something else. So he'll say, yeah, but it's tarchi mash, but they're both indicated in this difficulty in the pasuk. Otherwise, you should have said it some other way altogether. Some other way. We alluded to only one. The fact that it says it this way, like a double difficulty, so you can make two drushes. Okay. So now, so that's what the Marl is telling us over here.
And the idea is that both of them together are answering the question.
Right.
That difficulty was intentional.
The difficulty was intentional in order to allude to two concepts simultaneously.
It's not either or, it's both.
Right. So now, Noach is asking, though, how does the word oni allude to both? answering and a poor man. I think the point is like this. Lechem oni, oni la'anos. The vav in there does make it have to do with answering. Oneh is to answer. Yeah? But he's just saying if we wanted to talk about answering, we should have used a different word. So if we just wanted poor man, there's no vav in there. So the vav tells me it has to do with answering. But if it's answering, so why didn't you say aniya? Okay. Rather, that's to allude to this other, also to the poor man, which that leaves that door open for the poor for that other drush. Okay. Now the tam davar. Ze lihyos noheg kemo ani. Now what is the reason? Fine, so that's the mechanism of the drush. But what's the svara? What's the reasoning behind it? Why would Hashem want us behaving like poor people? Why would he want us eating from a broken loaf of bread? Right? That's again according to those that the Maharal has been arguing with, that they say that this is the bread that we ate while we were enslaved, this is what the Egyptians fed us, this was really terrible. So then, okay, then we understand. We were eating these scraps of, you know, broken off pieces of, you know, like people that are half starving and they're saving these little pieces of bread to eat later, right? So you have what to eat. Fine. But we're saying it means bread of Geula, bread of salvation, bread of going out to freedom. So why would the Torah be indicating to us to be eating from a broken half loaf? Yeah? Shemitzvah haTorah lasos lelechem hazeh shehu lechem oni dvorim hashayachim lanim. It's not that we are in a state of poverty on Pesach, but rather this bread, which is a bread, has to do with poverty, as we discussed extensively earlier. So not only that it's impoverished bread in its makeup, means that it doesn't have anything else added to it, such as seor, right, or it hasn't become leavened, and it's not even matzah shira, right, but additionally, even you should do things to it, the types of things that poor people usually do. The bread should have all those even external descriptions. The way the Gaon says it is there's a thing can have a property in its very makeup. In other words, in literally in its chomer, what it is. For example, in this case, if it would be chametz, means the dough itself has other stuff mixed into it, is enriched, right? In that regard, with other stuff, so that would be that's one way of being onto yourself. Another one is the shape, the physical shape of the thing, can also reflect that. Not just the matter, the material. Right? Let's say I'm going to make a table. So I'm going to make a table. First question is, what are you going to make it out of? So a rich man is going to make his table out of mahogany. Right? Hardwood. Okay. A poor man is going to make his table out of pine. right? Cheap wood. But Ari knows where to invest his money. He's not looking to burn cash. Okay, next, I'm going to use Ari as an example. Okay, so Ari made his table out of pine. Next.
You made a table?
Dining room table.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I was thinking it was $200.
What?
It was $200 of supplies.
$200 for a dining room table, which is like how big is the table? It's like a big table, no?
The custom size, yeah. It's like...
How big is it?
Seats 10 comfortably.
She's uncomfortable. Okay, that's
2,000. I figure
at least. Yeah. So okay. So instead of using mahogany, I use pine. So that's the homer itself. Next is the shape of the table, right? So you buy a mahogany table. So one of these fancy places, right? It's probably gonna have like some sort of like a hidden central leg, like kind of like in the middle, that people can just move their chairs wherever they want, right? A poor man's table is going to be a rectangular slab of wood on four legs that are in the corners. All right, does your table have four legs or one central leg?
It has a base. It's more like the poor one, I guess you're describing. It's not fancy.
Okay. Next, the gun continues. The craftsman who makes it also makes a difference. Right? We're going to see in a minute that lechem oni is also ma darko shel oni, that he stokes the fire and his wife kneads the dough and they put it right in. Whereas right, a rich man, he's got the flame burning nice and hot, and then he goes, he makes the dough, and then they put it in. Here it's like you only have a little tiny bit of wood, so quick, like throw the dough in as soon as you can before the fire goes out, right? So that, he says, that corresponds to the craftsman, right? So a poor man will make it himself. A rich man will hire a fancy craftsman. Are you who made the table?
Yeah. I and my wife sanded it, like you said, in the Marshall.
I made the table and my wife sanded it. Beautiful. Okay. And finally, by this part, I think it's probably not going to correspond, is the purpose of the table. A poor man's table, well, a rich man's table, the purpose is to support a lot of food, right? Laden with food. Poor man doesn't have food to put on the. So what is the purpose of the table? To sit over it and tell over his woes. Lechem she'onin alav dvarim harbei. It's the gong. Yeah. And the Haggadah. So now, that, I hope, your table will be filled with food. That's because Ari's not lacking in money. He just knows what to use his money on. Because he's a Ben Torah. But thank you for the mushroom. That was awesome. Okay. So the point is,
the single most expensive piece of furniture that my wife and I have is our dining room table, which is extremely heavy.
Yeah. Okay. So there you are. Well, you made it yourself?
No. No, I did not.
So funny that we spent like 2 years pining over, does it look right, blah, 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 and then it's been covered for a decade.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no purpose to buy a nice dining room table because it's always covered. If you have kids, if you like just like, you know, a family with like one little dog and whatever, fine. Then you buy a fancy, it stands open, but it's always covered because the kids are going to trash it.
We've been laughing about it for a decade. We spent so many trips.
Yeah, there you are. That's everything of Olam Hazeh is like that. Yeah. Okay, so here we go. So he says that that's what we need to do, that the matzah is not enough to just have it be poor bread as far as the dough is concerned, but you need it also to be poor bread as far as even the loaf is concerned. There should be a broken loaf. The hainu sheyia b'prusa. That's what it means. Kamo halechem hazeh shitzivsa haTorah lechol shehu lechem oni, just like the Torah is telling us to eat this bread, which is has to do with poverty. And we said poverty in this world is bad, but the concept of poverty is good because it speaks to being unto oneself, being free. Ulefi shehu ra'ui l'cheirus.
That's what you just said, because the nias of the bread supports the cheirus.
That's right.
V'kach
yeh nimshech acharav kol inyan ha'ani. Shekvar is buyer, shehagula hi mitzad ha'anius, kemoshe is buyer lamala barichus, lefikach gam kain darshu ma darko shaloni, hu masik v'ishto ofa, calls a nimshech linin echad. So the same concept, so he says, is why we said. That the poor man starts the fire, and meantime his wife is already putting the dough in to be baked. Okay.
Masik
is stoking, starting the fire. I don't know, stoking is not the right word. Igniting. Thank you. Vod amru, lechem oni. Prat le ashisha the gluska is coming to the exclusion of a pancake or a bun. Shein ze lachemoni. This is not what poor people eat. Shirui le Lechem hazeh dvarim asher heim mufshotim min ha'osher. Things that have nothing to do with wealth. Okay? Very good. Let's hop around a little bit more. Varamban, v'parshas re'eh, anochi pirish ki ha'matzehi zecher l'shnei dvarim. Ha'echad Shehayu b'Mitzrayim b'lechem tsar u'mayim lachatz v'ashen sheyotzu Yisrael b'Mitzrayim b'chipazon. So the Ramban tries to play both sides of the fence.
What was the first one? Sorry, b'Mitzrayim lechem tsar
and
b'lechem tsar.
We limited bread and water. In other words, we were in a deprived, impoverished state by our slave drivers, as well as the going out to freedom. V'chein amru ha'lachma di'achla v'asana ba'arad Mitzrayim. That's what we say in the Haggadah, that this is the bread that our forefathers ate in Mitzrayim. Kloimar she'achlu sham. Lechem tsar mayim lachatz v'pirusho nota l'pirush asher nizker l'mala. He, the Ramban, is kind of speaking like that explanation that the Maral has worked so hard to negate. Now the Ramban also kind of covers his basis by saying that it also represents freedom, and we did mention that according to the Gaon there would be more room for such a thing because of the fact that matzah can be in a state of impoverishment if it's missing the das, or can be in a state of shlemus if the das has been restored, afikoman, etc. I think we've discussed this before. But the Ramban just kind of says those two things, and the Maral says v'dasha ein hadvorim nirin klal. Ki ein hamatza rak zecher l'cherus ve'ein ba rak cherus. No, you don't need to say this. It's total cherus, and all the poverty that we do with it is all because poverty, in the abstract sense of the word, symbolizes freedom. So there's no need to make up that the Jewish people were fed matzah in their slavery.
And well, we tomorrow is not compromising at all on this.
Right. Exactly.
And it's all. He also has the pasuk of.
The pasuk for
they,
sure supports.
Claim we got dagim and stuff like that. Or
that's
that,
the Gemara. That's not a pasuk. That's the Gemara in Yuma says, how could they pass it? They wouldn't even give them a straw. They certainly didn't give them anything.
Okay.
So clearly, this is as a mouse. So you see, they weren't giving them matzah.
So what,
yeah.
What were the fish? What was the fish?
The Gemara says two opinions. Rabbi Shimon says it talking about free of mitzvahs. They were able to eat and do everything they were doing without mitzvahs. Promiscuity, all those types of things. But the point is, the Gemara is saying it doesn't mean what it sounds like it's saying. Umay she'amru behagada. Aye, but the Haggadah does say the achla v'asana be'ara de Mitzrayim. It does say that this is the bread that our forefathers ate in Egypt. Hu maimer balabais shinu medaktek bedvarov im bnei beiso. Ve'ein dover yidua yoser lehamon rasha yu yisrael b'mitzrayim ulekach amar diachlu avasana bar de Mitzrayim avagav she'aya ra'ui loymar diachlu avasana betseisam b'mitzrayim. This is the bread that we left when we were leaving Egypt. Elashenu medaktek ata loymar lama achlu. This is the bread that we ate in Egypt. In Egypt means on our way out of Egypt. He's not getting into why we're eating this bread. The reason why we're eating this bread that way is because we're leaving. B'chipozon. So, but
tomorrow's own chiddush.
Yes.
Yes.
Ela she'enu medakdek ata loymar. The Balabai is not getting into right now. Lama ochlu also lekach. Amar bestam. So he's just saying the fact. She'ochlu also b'Mitzrayim kloymar shayu. Avoseinu adain be'eretz, hayu ochlin lechem oni hazeh. When we are still in Egypt, we are already eating matzah. Chein hu ha'emes, dekeshe ochlu ha'lechem hazeh adain hayu be'eretz. It's indeed true. It's not a falsity. We were still in Mitzrayim when we were eating it. Shalohai yotzin chutz le'eretz Mitzrayim miyad. I mean, it took us 7 days to get out of Mitzrayim.
Meaning we must have eaten something during that
time. We were eating, and you know what we were eating during that time? We were eating matzah.
It took us 7 days to get out of Mitzrayim.
Yeah, crossing the sea.
Is that what we're including? In the Yetzias of Mitzrayim, leaving Egypt, the geographic location of Egypt is including the splitting of the sea?
What's your question?
Rabbi Shulman is not impressed.
I know.
No, I know you. I understand the question.
When we left on the first night, for the first day.
Right.
We
did not leave the geographical confines of Egypt.
Really? Didn't we just go out into the desert?
Well.
Lost, and then go to the sea when they were chasing us? They were chasing us in the middle.
We were.
Right? It's not like there was a town nearby.
That's true, but it was the country of Egypt. That's what he's saying. It was the country of Egypt. It wasn't the, you know, the populated region, right?
We were still within the dominion of.
Right. That's
Egypt, the sovereign borders.
That's why we parked outside of Pi Cherus, because that's the you know, if you pass through there, you're free. You get to come out. But that was we were on the very edge. The sea demarcates the edge of Mitzrayim. And we didn't cross it yet.
And that's on the eastern part.
We were on the western side of the sea, meaning on the Egyptian side of the sea.
Yeah, the eastern side of Egypt, the western side of the sea. But they also made the
Let me just finish. Shaharei. Also hayom, lo bo lemidbar, adveso misukos. Oh, so he's saying even more than that. He's saying maybe because maybe who says that the Egyptians controlled that wilderness area? But the point is that even until we got to that we traveled from Sukkos, ve'achanu be'itam be'katzei hamidbar, we were on the edge of the desert. The kodom ze hakol bichshev b'shem Mitzrayim. Up until that point, it's all geographical location of Mitzrayim. Lekach zacher hamokom hayoser mefursim. So instead of mentioning this is the bread that we ate in Sukkos, whichever location where we stopped for the first time to eat, so we just say in Mitzrayim, in the big place Mitzrayim, more loose, just the country. People are gonna know. They're gonna know what is this. Why are we talking about what we ate in Sukkos? Aval eina inyan hamatza zecher rak lecherus vod yisbayer b'mekomo. And I don't know why the Maral didn't just say a very easy answer. This is the matzah that we ate on Leil Tesvav. We were eating the Karban Pesach. We had a mitzvah to eat matzah that night. The night that it was Makas Bechoros. That night, we had a mitzvah to eat matzah in our houses. So if you want to find a time when we ate matzah in Mitzrayim, and it was really in Mitzrayim, literally inside, in our houses, in Mitzrayim proper, We have a place. Instead, he has to find a place that is technically Mitzrayim, even though not in the way that one would understand. Tzarchiyun.
We had to say that we ate it out because of the mitzvah, and we're leaving this because that's all we had.
Sorry, say again.
When we left, that's all we had. We didn't have time for bread to rise.
Okay.
So the first one, I mean, it's true, it's the same bread. It was the Tzivu of Hashem.
Yeah.
And here it's out of necessity.
Yeah.
Anything else? And true. You're saying there should be no difference.
Yeah, the statement is this is the bread that we ate in Mitzrayim.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Okay, Rabbi Isai, wishing everyone a Chag Kosher V'Sameach.